Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and live from the Kelsey Brothers box, excuse me, Taylor, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. Jana, first off, your Cowboys really laid waste to my Giants.
I'm sorry about that.
So far as to say annihilated.
It wasn't even fun to watch.
I can't say it was a surprise after the game predictions that we had last week. I predicted a score of 42-14. You said 33-17. So we were both kind of in the ballpark, although not
in the vicinity,
recognizing the extent of the desecration there. But anyway,
that was hard.
Kudos to your Cowboys for bouncing back from a tough game against the Eagles and doing what had to be done. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling with Carolina this week, they're in for another Buffalo fantasy performance.
Yes. I think our rankings will reflect that. It was a weird slate of games. I mean, we had five games decided by a game-ending field goal. There was a lot of weird stuff this week. I mean, it just some days it's hard to predict, but every now and then we get a few right.
Joshua
we do
Dobbs.
I mean, we do. There's only four teams on a bye this week, which is nice. We're at least getting some better primetime games. We're getting less of this overseas nonsense. It's just not for our overseas listeners. It's fine. I just don't love watching a terrible game at 9 a.m., but I'm sure people who paid to be there for that Colts and Patriots game weren't excited either. We'll talk about the Patriots in a minute. There's some news coming out of there. We have quite the action-packed show tonight. We've got, unfortunately, the always lovely injury report, the waiver wire, so we can fix all these holes and bye week issues and injury problems and all of the things. Unfortunately, Sherpa's tasked with the hardest part of the whole show. We've got who to start, who to sit, our positional rankings. We've got game picks. We've got daily fantasy picks. We've got everything you need to guide your team to victory, to win your water cooler arguments, to make a couple bucks on DraftKings or FanDuel or wherever, Caesars or the 78 betting sites. We've got you covered. In the meantime, if 1 hour of this is just not enough, because we'll be here with you until 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, for those of you listening live and those listening after the fact, kick back, relax, unless you're sitting, you know, in Beltway traffic, and then our condolences. You can find us all over social media. We're on Twitter at @4THNInchesShow. You can find us at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. You can email us at @4THNInchesShow@gmail.com. That's @4THNInchesShow@gmail.com. And of course, if you missed any of these action-packed minutes of this episode or any episode in the past, we've got 14 years worth of back catalog everywhere you find your favorite podcast. We're thinking maybe pulling out a couple of greatest hits later on. Yeah, I mean, I've done the podcast from Beltway traffic. We were talking last week about the many weird places we've done this podcast throughout our time. Many of those were on Beltway traffic. Only once did Sherpa almost die for the show. We only, you know, the back of the restaurant was a tough day. But, you know, we persevered. Sherpa almost died in Times Square for the show. But here we are, 14 years, north of 200 episodes later. And next week is our always lovely Thanksgiving thankful episode and also the turkeys. So if you have any you want us to highlight, because the list is long on both sides, feel free to find us on social media. We are more than receptive. But tonight, as I said, a lot going on. Not only do we have injuries, which we'll get to in a minute, but we have some firings, we have some releases, we have some benchings, we have some returns, a lot of action. We did see just a little while ago the Jets released running back Michael Carter. So I guess we've decided that experiment is over. Dalvin Cook didn't get traded, but Breece Hall is the only one getting the rock.
But
the Patriots
say,
are not.
Two guys named Michael Carter on the same team experiment is over.
Yeah, that was tough. I was watching a college football game this weekend. I forget who it was. Brothers, one was an offensive player, one was a defense, and they both wear the same number. I was like, well, that's not fair. That's not fair at all.
Speaking of college, there was the game between Texas A&M and Mississippi State this weekend where both the coaches got fired after the game.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's ever happened
that's
before,
tough.
At least not mid-season.
I mean, generally, if you win the game, you get to keep your job, but not anymore.
And he didn't just win the game. He won by, like, 40 points, and he still got fired.
And that still wasn't enough. There's no safety anywhere anymore.
No more for 1 week. Well, at least he gets a nice going-away present of about $80 million. But,
I know.
Thanks to Texas A&M boosters, life is hard.
We need better agents. No one's paying us $80 million to go away. Unfortunately, the Jets are paying Michael Carter to go away. I would imagine he's going to land somewhere. There's a lot of running back injuries. The Raiders claimed cornerback Jack Jones off the waivers from the Patriots. Mac, and not just Jack Jones, but Mac Jones, not sure if he's going to be a starting quarterback after their bye week, after being benched for the third time. That's just the tip of the iceberg of problems they have. The Bills fired their offensive coordinator after the abomination we saw last night. So Joe Brady's taking over there. And, you know, we've got Motor City Dan Campbell out there telling people to wear a diaper before they watch games. So, you know, we got a little bit of everything here tonight. We'll dive into the injuries. Unfortunately, there are a few of those. We did get some guys back from injury this week. If we're starting in Arizona, like we do, Kyler Murray returned. James Conner came back. They look like a completely different football team than they did a couple of weeks ago. Not that they're necessarily a good football team, but, like, neither are the Falcons. So here we are.
You might not have a top five draft pick by the end of it.
Yeah, the Bears still have two.
It's life easier for the Giants.
Yeah.
Yes, and the Bears.
And also, I feel like we didn't have to do Tommy DeVito quite as dirty as everyone. The storyline being he's the only starting quarterback living at home with mom and dad. I mean, he had enough against him. Did we really have to do that to him, too?
And doesn't
anyway.
Make his own bed. Yeah.
No. He's got a pretty sweet gig. I got to say, it does not sound bad.
Yeah. No.
No one's making my bed and cooking dinner.
Just
but anyway, out in Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, and you and I both have attack cats living in our houses, so things are not safe in any capacity here.
They probably do not have an attack cat in the DeVito household.
Yeah. I mean, probably be playing better if there were. It's very motivating. So the Cardinals got a little healthier. They do, however, have quite a few injuries on the offensive line and in the linebacking core. Also, most notably on the offensive side of the ball, wide receiver Zach Pascal is knocked out of the game with a hamstring injury. He's questionable going into the week. Again, hopefully you're not needing to start Zach Pascal, but some of us are out here starting eating Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble. So not throwing stones here.
Trey McBride, though, he's quite something. We're doing quite well
for
them.
Former Eagle, now hanging out in Arizona behind yet another former Eagle. Trey McBride certainly looks like he and Kyler Murray have had a few reps since he's been trying to get healthy. Like that a lot. We'll get to him in just a little bit in our tight end rankings, I'm sure. Good news for all of you guys. The Falcons are on a bye this week, so I can't pick them to lose. However, Taylor Heinicke did get knocked out of the game with what they're calling a low-grade hamstring injury or ineffectiveness, one or the other. But we'll see how he is coming out of the bye week. Also keep an eye on wide receiver Mac Hollins there and most of their defensive ends, but we'll touch on those next week. In Baltimore, stop me if you've heard this before, Odell Beckham Jr. on the injury report. He is questionable. He's not practicing. He's got a sore knee. We're not even trying to come up with real injuries anymore. He just feels sore today, so he didn't want to play. I'm sure he will show up at game time. He will play. How much he plays, whether or not you want to take that risk, I don't think you should, but, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. might think otherwise. Also, cornerback Marlon Humphrey is not practicing. He's dealing with a calf injury. That's a big piece of that secondary there. Ronnie Stanley, also not practicing, still dealing with a knee injury. He's who keeps Lamar Jackson upright. And also keep an eye on linebacker Trenton Simpson, who is knocked out with a concussion. But their injury report is actually getting smaller from being the historically largest 2 weeks later to really middle of the pack. So good on them. The Buffalo Bills as we alluded to, have fired their offensive coordinator. I don't necessarily think that fixes all your problems. Their entire defense is still, you know, the fourth and fifth string guys, unfortunately. And for the most part, everyone is injured on that defense. And wide receiver Trent Sherfield is also questionable with an ankle injury. Hopefully you're not going to need to throw him in your lineup this week, but there you are. In Carolina, as you mentioned, going to be playing the Cowboys this week. They did activate tight end Ian Thomas of my sad, sad little dynasty team. Coming back off injured reserve. He has been hanging out with a calf injury. Now he's healthy. That's good. They also designated cornerback J.C. Horn to come back from injured reserve. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury, so that would be a really nice boost to the cornerbacks. Wide receiver DJ Chark is questionable, so is LaViska Shenault. Tight end Hayden Hurst is dealing with some soft tissue injuries. Keep an eye on cornerback CJ Henderson, who was banged up last week. Certainly guys to keep an eye on as you go this week, more so if you're trying to decide if you're going to hit the over this week. Those are names you want to look at. Out in Chicago, quarterback Justin Fields might play this week. He says he seems to feel he's ready. The team maybe is just tanking for draft picks. We don't know at this point. Tentatively penciled in as the starter for this week. We will see how that goes. Obviously, he's been dealing with that dislocated thumb. Hard to hold a football, hard to throw a football. That I understand. Also, running back Khalil Herbert is still not yet activated from injured reserve. He's dealing with an ankle injury. There is still time this week that they could do that, so keep an eye on it. That does definitely affect the Roschon Johnson and Deontay Foreman's of the world. Also keep an eye on linebacker Tremaine Edwards, who is a little banged up. He's a big part of that defense and certainly someone they're going to need out there to win. The Bengals had themselves a tough little week here, and I'm not entirely sure it's going to get better. In the meantime, however, they were without T. Higgins last week. Defensive end Sam Hubbard is still banged up. Cornerback Chidobe Awuzie is still banged up. Defensive end Trey Hendrickson is still banged up. He's still waiting on an MRI later today. Hyperson did his knee, did not return. Dealing with a couple other issues in the secondary, and it would probably behoove them if Joe Burrow stopped throwing footballs to the other team. That usually makes it easier to win, but not a reason to be on the injury report. In Cleveland, the other side of that division, Deshaun Watson is no longer on the injury report with a shoulder injury. Now we've acquired an ankle injury. Still awaiting results from his MRI. He expects to play Sunday against the Steelers. I would wait and see. Tune in later this week. I can tell you I have him on a team. I am not planning on starting him. I sure hope you are not either. Cornerback Denzel Ward, also questionable. He's got what they're calling a minor neck strain. Generally, if you're a giant human being hitting other humans, a neck strain probably isn't mild, but who knows. Also, safety Juan Thornhill was knocked out of the game with a calf injury. So a couple of guys to keep an eye on the defensive side of the ball. And in slightly better news, Nick Chubb had another successful knee surgery to repair his torn ACL. So his knee is fully put back together. Now he's just got a rehab. So good for him. The Cowboys, as you said, came off kind of a drubbing of the Giants this week. However, not really any good news came out of the injury report today. Wide receiver Kamate Turpin is questionable. He'll be later on down the line this week. Again, more of a deeper play, special teams play for you. But Jerry Jones went on the radio today and said that linebacker Leighton Vander Esch is not going to be coming back this season, and his career is possibly in jeopardy after this latest neck injury. So not something you want to hear as a Cowboys fan. Also, cornerback C.J. Goodwin is going to be out for the rest of the season with his pectoral muscle, so nothing good coming out of my Cowboys today. In Denver, they got a couple of things going their way. Tight end Greg Dulcich going to be returning at some point this season. No one seems to want to give me an idea of when that some point is. In the next week or two is what I'm hearing, but we'll see if it actually happens. Safety P.J. Locke is walking around in a walking boot. He was knocked out of the game pretty early on with an ankle injury. Not ideal when you see a guy with a walking boot. I would imagine we are not going to see a whole lot of him this week on the field, so that defense is going to take a bit of a hit. Out in Detroit,
not a lock to play.
Not a lock to play. Not at all. Also, I keep thinking that mixing him up with P.J. Walker, the quarterback. And I'm just not the same person at all, but P.J. Locke, like P.J. Walker, I'm like, walking boot, that's going to be tough for him to throw. He's not throwing. He's trying to catch footballs and knock people over. Like, tough to keep him straight. In Detroit, not hard to keep this injury report straight because it is actually pretty small for them. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the relatively new acquired wide receiver, is questionable. He's still dealing with a hamstring injury. And keep an eye on most of their defensive players. Everyone's a little banged up. But, hey, they're going out there. Dan Campbell's got them fired up 6 ways of Sunday. It seems to be working. Props to them. For the Packers, 2 big injuries this week. Linebacker Quay Walker, who did not play last week with a groin injury, and cornerback Jair Alexander did not play as well, dealing with a shoulder injury. Still both very questionable going into this week, so keep an eye on those. Certainly going to be a different game without them on the field, as we saw last week. In Houston, we do not seem to have a lot of problems here, so you don't need to call Houston for that. They are certainly a little banged up, most notably running back Damian Pierce, who we haven't seen in the last 2 weeks. He still has an ankle injury, hoping to get a little healthier this week, but so far it doesn't sound super optimistic that he is going to get on the field this week, but keep an eye on it. Tight end Brevin Jordan is dealing with some hamstring injuries as well. He's a little slowed down there. He's questionable. Wide receiver Nico Collins did not play last week with a calf injury. It looked like he was going to be ready to go, and then it was kind of a late scratch. And kicker Kaimi Fairbad, he was put on IR. His quad just wasn't going to come back. He's out at least 4 weeks, and we got Matt Amendola out here kicking field goals. So things are going okay for the Texans, but keep an eye as well on their secondary, Jimmy Ward in particular. I'd like to see him a little healthier coming into this week, but the linebackers and safeties are the walking wounded. Stop me if you've heard that before. The Colts are on a bye this week. Just one thing to keep an eye on when you're pre-planning your next week's lineup. Center Ryan Kelly is concussed, still very much in the protocol. I don't like when young quarterbacks or Gardner Minshew don't have their proper center, so keep an eye on that when you're making your predictions. Moving into Jacksonville. Tough game last week for them. Tough game coming up. Zay Jones, wide receiver, was released from jail this morning. That's normally how we start our injury report. The way that this was sent to me, with a knee injury, was released from jail this morning. He was arrested for a misdemeanor domestic violence situation. Misdemeanor battery didn't sound great. Don't love the knee injury either. That's kept him out for the last 2 weeks, but like really do not love the domestic violence arrest. I'm thinking it's probably not a strong chance he's on the field this week. So please plan accordingly. When jail enters your blurb about your injury, your day's not going well, sir. Jamal Agnew, also on the injury report, did not go to jail, though. He's just questionable with a shoulder injury. It's going to be a real long shot. But he was knocked out pretty good with an injury this week in Week 10. So Week 11, very much in doubt. Most of their cornerbacks are injured and hitting IR and not looking real strong in general. So just the secondary, it needs a little TLC right now, and not the kind Zay Jones apparently wants to prescribe. So don't start him this week. In Kansas City, I don't know if you've heard, this is a rematch of Brothers, of Taylor Swift, and People's Most Sexiest Humans Alive people, and, oh, I don't know, a Super Bowl rematch. There's a lot going into this one this week. Kansas City is coming off their bye, and, you know, Travis is coming off his German trip or Austrian trip or wherever the hell he was on tour. But we do have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is here practicing. A little questionable, but he's around. We appreciate that. Wide receiver Richie James is not activated yet from IR. He is potentially going to be, but not quite yet. So keep an eye on that. He's been dealing with a knee injury. It could be this week. It may not be till next week, but we're getting close. In Las Vegas, the Raiders, the Antonio Pierce-coached Raiders have somehow continued to be a functional team, and props to them. But they are a little banged up as well, particularly the cornerbacks, linebackers. Nothing good happening there. I would certainly keep an eye on Colton Miller, the offensive tackle, as well. And cornerback Rick Robertson is concussed, very much still in the concussion protocol. Not ideal either. So keep an eye on those two, particularly as the week goes on. The Los Angeles Chargers, they played themselves a game. Unfortunately, also several people got injured in this game, and they did not win. So things were rough all over. Tight end Gerald Everett's questionable. He's dealing with a back injury. They're calling it day-to-day. We all are actually day-to-day, so that always seems like a silly designation. Day-to-day it is. Keenan Allen is questionable with a shoulder injury. He exited for 10 minutes or so and then just sort of reappeared in a goal line stand like nothing happened. So I guess we're going with the shoulders okay. Wide receiver Josh Palmer is hoping to come back at some point from IR, but Brandon Staley doesn't want to give us an expected recovery timetable for that knee. So doesn't sound like it's in the next couple of weeks, just FYI.
That's the after Brandon Staley's gone.
Yeah, probably. Well, the way things are going, he's on the hot seat. It's getting hotter by the second. The Los Angeles Rams, coming off the bye week, Matt Stafford is allegedly going to be the quarterback this week. And we say allegedly because no one's really sure if he can still hold a football, but it's fine. No one's worried about it. So we'll see how that goes. They did also bring in Carson Wentz. So, you know, they have options. There's some options out there. Again, see how that looks closer to game time. I don't want you to put Matt Stafford out there and it three plays in, he can't hold a football anymore. It just makes me nervous. But other than that, they are pretty healthy. It looks like Kyren Williams, who's been on injured reserve, probably is coming back for next week. This week would be too soon, but week 12, he should be active again, which would be a nice boost. And most of their defensive tackles are getting a little healthier. Everyone's hurt, but we're getting one or two back from IR. So it's getting better. It will get better, I promise. The Dolphins coming back, getting a little healthier here. Still keeping an eye on wide receiver River Craycraft, who's still questionable with leg injury. You've got Raheem Mostert is, they're saying, an undisclosed reason not participating in practice today. He's a little banged up, and he's got a few miles on his tires. I wouldn't worry about this if he does not practice all week. Then I'm ready to worry about it, but it sounds like he's going to be fine. Wide receiver Jalen Waddle is questionable. He's dealing with a knee injury. He said that the bye week helped rejuvenate his body. So sounds like he's planning on playing, which great, great. Running back Devon Achane is eligible. Yeah, he's eligible to come off of IR. He has been designated to return. The knee is feeling good. We're healthy. I'm very excited about this. It's going to be a dynamic-looking team this week. They do have a couple of issues at guard and offensive tackle, so those may rear their ugly head. But for now, we're going to ride the high of healthy humans, so props to them. In Minnesota, just another Joshua Dobbs performance, I guess, this week. Poor guy that still doesn't really know who he's playing with. But he's going out and he's finding a way to win games, so good for him. Kirk Cousins officially has his cast removed from his Achilles injury, so he's feeling excited about that and apparently has been actually very helpful for Joshua Dobbs in going over game plans together and talking about the team in general, which seemed to be helpful this week, so hopefully they keep doing that.
And just imagine me and Aaron Rodgers are calling each other and trash-talking each other about how quickly they'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins just seems too aw shucks. I just don't know if he's trash-talking anyone ever in his life. I can't even see him doing it. Remember those NFL mic'd up moments where you'd hear Philip Rivers trying to talk trash to people and he couldn't do it? He had, third-grade trash talk. I don't know what I imagine Kirk Cousins probably sounds like. But anyway, I digress. Kirk Cousins does not have a cast on. Cannot play football, though. Don't be fooled by Aaron Rodgers. This is not a thing happening. Most of their linebackers and defensive ends are questionable, not in skill, in health, not dogging anyone, but just keep an eye on the defense when you're making some picks here. Running back-wise, Alexander Mattison is in concussion protocol, and he is not looking like he's got a good sign of getting out of it right away, so keep an eye on him as the week goes. Cam Akers is on IR. He's got his officially with his torn Achilles. I'm sure he's already down at the torn Achilles like gymnasium down wherever they are in Florida or something where all these guys are together. But in better news, Justin Jefferson was not active last week, but might be available this week. He's coming off injured reserve. Looks like he's got a chance. So we'll talk in a little bit when we get to position rankings about whether or not that is going to be something for your lineup. The Patriots are on a bye. They're also in a terrible place, so we're going to just skip these guys entirely. The Saints also on a bye. Two things to note, though. Michael Thomas, pretty significant knee injury. They're calling it questionable now, still running tests. Cornerback Marshawn Lattimore suffered a high ankle sprain. An insignificant injury. It's something probably he's going to miss time. And Derek Carr did get knocked out of the game. His right shoulder is fine. He is not concussed. He's just questionable. So those are the ones to keep an eye on in the bye week. For the Giants, things were not good. Adoree Jackson, cornerback, questionable. Running back Deion Jackson's questionable. Wide receiver Jalin Hyatt was knocked out of the game with a concussion. He's in the protocol. Kayvon Thibodeau was knocked out with a concussion, and it keeps going on and on and on. Deontay Banks, quarterback, ankle injury. Andrew Thomas, tackle, knee injury. Tyrod Taylor, on injured reserve. Not season ending, but might be season ending. Daniel Jones, injured reserve. Graham Gano, even the kicker's on injured reserve. Like, it is a bad time to be on this team right now. I am sorry for your Giants, Sherpa. There are one or two healthy players, and Saquon Barkley is one of them, despite how the first half of that football game looked. We'll talk about him in a little bit. The first name on the New York Jets injury report is Aaron Rodgers. He expects to return this year, but he doesn't have a specific date. But check back next week with Pat McAfee on Tuesday for more. the rest of the team pretty healthy, except for your linebackers. But, you know, so be it. We're at that point. No one's healthy anymore. The Eagles put one of their safeties, Justin Evans, on IR. He is actually getting designated to come back this week. The knee feeling healthier. His designated return could play this week. So good on him. They'd also like to see some other guys get a little healthier. N'Kobe Dean is dealing with a Lisfranc sprain. He is likely going on injured reserve. They haven't officially done that yet. Bradley Roby is still questionable, dealing with head, shoulders, knees, and toes, a little bit of everything. Jalen Hurts is still on here, questionable. They're calling it a bruised knee. It seems like more than that, but that's all they want to tell us, which is fine. Tight end Dallas Goedert did have surgery to address the fracture in his right forearm, likely a four-week recovery time. He's just planning on coming back as soon as he gets out of the cast, so good on him. Really, the Jalen Hurts and how much he practices this week, I think, is the biggest story out of all of this, because they're going to need all of that to play the Chiefs this week. Taylor Swift will settle for nothing less, so they're going to have to keep an eye on that injury report. In Pittsburgh, a couple of big names on the injury report. Minka Fitzpatrick being one of them, being knocked out of the game. Looks like he's on track to play. Quan Alexander hit IR. Unfortunately, he's going to be done for the next 4 weeks. Tight end Pat Freiermuth, however, is planning to resume practicing next week, a.k.a. this week. And he's hoping to be eligible to return November 19th at Cleveland. They've not officially designated him to return yet. I imagine in another day or two we'll know one way or another, but we'll take a look at what's out there. Maybe he's worth putting in your lineup. Maybe he's not. In San Francisco, just a couple of injuries, nothing too crazy, a couple of linebackers, a couple of guards. Mostly guys like Colton McKivitz, the offensive lineman, dealing with an ankle injury. He's a guy you'd like to have out on the field, but he's not going to make or break things, unfortunately. In Seattle, definitely dealing with a few injuries here. Drake Young, wide receiver, is dealing with an abdominal issue. One, two, three, four, five linebackers are dealing with injuries. All of the linebackers on the roster are currently injured. And Kenny McIntosh is showing up as questionable today after practice, the running back, without an injury designation. So I'm thinking it's more of a rest situation than anything else, but keep an eye on that. In Tampa Bay, historically...
Linebackers, did you see the news about Bobby Wagner having his identity stolen by his ex-wife's boyfriend and all that? Was a really bizarre story.
What a wild tale that was. That rabbit hole going down that, I was like, holy moly.
The guy got out of jail and stole a car right away again. It was bizarre. Anyway, I digress.
What would possess, if there was any identity on the planet that you wanted to steal, you're like, who's like a very large, physically fit, potentially angry person? Let me take that person's identity. No, what an idiot.
Yeah, that guy that ran out on the field, that would be nothing compared to what I would imagine Bobby Wagner would do to that guy if he ever got his hands on him.
I'm just saying, like, this clearly not a very good criminal. Like, if we had criminal fantasy teams, he would not be drafted on mine. That guy's not a good one. I'm sure Bobby Wagner agrees with us.
Happy to get him on the show and ask.
Yeah, yeah, friend of the show, Bobby Wagner. We got your side on this, buddy. Out in Seattle, though, otherwise, pretty okay. Tampa Bay, however, actually, I say that like there's going to be 100 injuries. There's a couple of big ones, most notably Baker Mayfield. He's dealing with a thumb injury, smashing on somebody's helmet. Didn't look like it felt all that great, but not planning to miss any practice time, fully on track for Sunday's game. I mean, maybe I would be a little more cautious about placing the 49ers, but he's not. Baker's waking up and feeling dangerous. You got to respect that. A couple of injuries is secondary, but it's a pretty clean injury report for them. So good on you, Tampa Bay. For our friends out in Tennessee, the Titans, Ryan Tannehill still is questionable. He's still the backup quarterback here. Treylon Burks also listed questionable with an ankle injury. Andre Dillon, he's in the concussion protocol, one of their offensive linemen. It'd be really nice to have him back. And a couple of banged up linebackers and cornerbacks, as every team has right now, which is terrible, but for the most part, things pretty healthy. And last but not least, the Washington Commanders. We've got a few things here, mostly on the defensive side of the ball, but most notably here, defensive end James Smith-Williams, who is pretty questionable. He got knocked out with a hamstring injury. Certainly someone you want in that secondary if Geno's going to be throwing a million moon balls this week, but we'll find out. And could be without one of their many, many, many backup running backs. So other than that, moderately healthy team, you know, after trading away half their defense. But is there anyone left on the injury that's not injured, that's not on a bye, that might have some fantasy value still anywhere in this world? And is it just Ian Thomas?
No, it's not just Ian Thomas. There are actually several running backs that might be worth picking up this week. Devin Singletary in Houston would be at the top of my list. You know, he ran for a lot of yards this past week and Damian Pierce's absence, and seems like he's settling in there pretty well into a high-powered offense. Keaton Mitchell with Baltimore still widely available, has a matchup against Cincinnati coming up, which figures to be another high-scoring game. Jerick McKinnon for the Chiefs against the Eagles, not going to get a ton of rushing yards, but always seems to work his way into the passing game, and especially if you're in a points-per-reception league, he can be some valuable some value. Seattle, Zach Charbonnet still out there, potentially a nice matchup against the Rams this week. I mean, yes, he's he's not going to take over for Kenneth Walker III anytime soon, but he still seems to be getting more snaps as the season goes on. And then finally, Kenneth Gainwell, who knows what's going on with Eagles backfield from week to week. But, yeah,
this has become the Mike Shanahan offense of the Commanders' days 15 years ago.
Yeah, maybe he'll
get three
carries.
Our early podcast days.
Yeah, maybe he'll get three carries. Maybe he'll get three touchdowns. Maybe he'll get three carries on three touchdowns.
The only way to know for sure is if you put him on your bench, he will have the game of his life. You put him in your lineup, nothing.
So some other guys, if you're just looking for like a one-week bye replacement, Darrell Henderson and Royce Freeman with Los Angeles, Jaleel McLaughlin with Denver, and Latavius Murray with Buffalo. Some other guys that I looked at, but keen on their matchups this week would be Antonio Gibson with Washington and Tajay Spears with Tennessee going up against Jacksonville. So anything you want to add to that?
He does seem like a guy who would be on the Jaguars team. I don't know why, but it just feels right.
Yeah. So any additions or deletions from your perspective to that list?
No, but to piggyback on it, a question for you. So say you have a guy like Keaton Mitchell for the Ravens who was electric this week. John Harbaugh saying, we're going to put him in line for more reps on a Thursday night. We already know how I feel about Thursday nights. Or you have a guy like Brandon Cooks, who the Cowboys like just realized is still on their team. And they have big games in situations that maybe wouldn't normally have presented themselves. Do you try to ride that hot streak and say, I'm going to go get Keaton Mitchell this week and hope something great happens? Or like maybe because they know Brandon Cooks actually still employed by this organization, they might throw the ball to him again? Or are you just like, this is a flash in a pan, let's see what actually happens?
I don't know that either is a flash in the pan, but when I look at the Dallas receiving core, he's obviously the beta at best to CeeDee Lamb's alpha. If you look at the Baltimore running game, I mean, I've certainly benefited quite a bit this year from Gus Edwards. Yeah, it just seems to me that Keaton Mitchell, there's a lot more upside there just in terms of explosiveness compared to the Gus Edwards battering ram. So, I think if I had to swing for the fences and start one of them this week in hopes of just, stumbling my way into a bushel of 4 points, I probably think Mitchell has the higher upside of those two that you just presented. And just in general, if I have a running back who I think is going to get a fair number of touches, even if it's just part of the committee, I would probably prefer that over a wide receiver.
Yeah, the only reason I even consider Brandon Cooks, and I'm not actually putting him on any of my teams because I got to have as few Cowboys as possible or else I just too much, can't do it. But because of the matchup, I feel like there might be more kind of garbage time opportunities for him. So maybe if you're in a deeper league, you can ride him another week before, the Cowboys start playing real teams again. Because I think that goes away pretty fast.
I don't know, in garbage time, are they more likely to be throwing to Brandon Cooks or handing off to Rico Dowdle? I don't know.
It's obvious the answer is Rico Dowdle because I dropped him off a team and he immediately started playing.
Yeah, I dropped him off a dynasty team a while back, but
I don't think that's going to stick long term anyway.
No. On to wide receivers, you'll be glad to know Brandon Cooks is actually one of the guys that I was going to highlight this week. There's actually quite a few
receivers.
Yeah, quite a few wide receivers that I would feel comfortable picking up as plug-in plays for this week. Brandon Cooks is one of them, Romeo Dubs with Green Bay, Noah Brown, who as long as Nico Collins is out, butchered his name again. As long as Nico Collins is out in Houston, Noah Brown has carved out a nice role for himself. Jaden Reed with Green Bay, Elijah Moore for Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr., assuming he is healthy, Michael Wilson with Arizona, especially with the resurgence of Kyler Murray there. Wandale Robinson, just because I figure at some point Tommy DeVito's got to complete a few passes, and this seems like a week where that might happen. And then Kadarius Toney, if you want to see if lightning strikes twice. You'll remember he had a couple big catches and a return against the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
So
maybe he channels that again, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, quite a few. And then a little bit further down the list, guys that I'm not quite as enthused about, but also could serve in plug and play and options in deeper leagues, are Curtis Samuel against the Giants this week, and Quentin Johnston going up against Green Bay this week.
And there's some interesting. It was actually harder for me to pick a couple of positions to actually pick 10 guys I really didn't want to start, and wide receiver was one of them. I just felt like there's a lot of games that could go either we're scoring a ton of points and I'm like, I don't know who's going to get it at this point, or like I'm pretty sure the defense can cover some of these guys. It was hard to narrow down 10 I really didn't want to start this week. So at least there's some good options out there.
Coincidentally, same thing here. But for me, it was more quarterback, tight end, and defenses that I had a hard time finding 10 that I didn't like this week. Running backs and wide receivers, there's usually no shortage of people there that I would want to stay away from, given my prediction on game scripts, but we'll see. So moving on to quarterbacks then, the two that strike me this week, one will not surprise you and one may. The one that won't surprise you is Joshua Dobbs. Still widely available. You got to be impressed with what he's done with Minnesota. Of course, you know, home games going out to Denver, you know, is an, you know, for a nighttime game is a different story, but I have confidence in him, especially since he's shown the ability to generate points with his running game too. And then Jordan Love, the one that's likely to surprise you just because he hasn't really played well at all recently, but he is going up against the Chargers defense this week that has made lots of quarterbacks look good this year. So those are two that I like quite a bit. Baker Mayfield and Matthew Stafford, I would put in that category, but, of course, they're injured, so take them down into a lower tier. And then other guys that are available, but I really wouldn't want to start them unless I'm desperate, are Will Levis with Tennessee, Russell Wilson, Bryce Young, and Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I think I'm a little more partial to Will Levis, but it is not the best matchup this week, that's for sure.
Okay, moving on to tight ends, a couple options. One, I don't think will surprise you, the other might. The one that won't surprise you is Luke Musgrave with the Packers going up against the Chargers defense. And then the one that I think will surprise you is the blast from the past with the Giants, and that's Daniel Bellinger, who had a nice rookie year last year, but then he's kind of been lost in the...
Well, he almost lost his eye, and, like, he overcame some stuff. That was bad last year.
But then, of course, with Dan Weiler there for most of the season, he's been overshadowed, but now he's getting an opportunity. I'd feel a lot better if Daniel Jones or even Tyrod Taylor were his quarterback, but... Tommy DeVito, maybe that's a safety blanket for him. We'll see. But anyway, those are two that I like a lot. Gerald Everett, I would like if he weren't injured. Guys that I like less given the matchups this week, but still, if you're desperate, could serve as plug-and-play options are Kate Otten, Chigakonkwo, Tyler Conklin, and Irv Smith Jr.
I thought Irv Smith Jr. was going to have a bigger game last week than he did, but part of that was because Joe Burrow was not good. So I was, again, I just feel like with so many hurt wide receivers, he's got to do something, but there's not a lot of that when your offense isn't moving.
I mean, it didn't work out for him in Minnesota. It doesn't look like it's working for him in Cincinnati. You know, at what point do you just throw in the towel? I'm sure many people have already, but I don't know. I'm still holding out hope for him, but
I've still got him on the team. I'm ready. I'm ready for when he's going to break out. I'm going to be the first one in line.
Okay. And defenses this week, the three that I'm most excited about that are widely available for some reason, probably a combination of buys and other things, but Miami hosting Las Vegas, Jacksonville hosting Tennessee, and Detroit hosting Chicago this week. All three of those, I think, are outstanding defenses to start. Some other options, and maybe in a tier lower than that, Houston hosting Arizona, Denver hosting Minnesota, and Minnesota at Denver. The Giants at Washington. I know that's probably not a popular pick, but I think they are going to bounce back this week a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully that's not just the homer in me speaking. And then against those same Giants, I figure that could be a low-scoring game. But anyway, some good defenses to stream, but Miami, Jacksonville, and Detroit probably the three I'm most interested in if I need one this week.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. It could certainly – we've had much worse weeks of options. This is a pretty good one, all things considered.
Okay. Why don't we get to some position player recommendations or top 10 lists. How about I start us off at running back?
Let's get crazy.
I know this will shock you, but Christian McCaffrey is at the top of my list this week. Raheem Mostert, Tony Pollard, Joe Mixon, Travis Etienne, Devin Singletary, who we talked about before, David Montgomery, Isaiah Pacheco. I actually have Keaton Mitchell at 9 and Austin Eckler at 10. Honorable mentions, Saquon Barkley, Kenneth Walker, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Aaron Jones.
Yeah, it was really tough. I felt like there was a couple of running backs that were like the top of the heap here, and then I could have anywhere from like 8 to 20, I could have found another to fit in this top 10. So I actually went with Austin Eckler at number 1 and Christian McCaffrey down at number 2. It's not just because he broke a touchdown streak. I just think that the Tampa Bay defense will slow down this offense a little better than they did. I like Austin Eckler's matchup against Green Bay a lot better. But it's very easily could go either way. I have Travis Etienne all the way up at 3 on my list. And Josh Jacobs checking in at 4. Saquon Barkley all the way up to 5 here. And I know based off what we saw last week, this is madness, and it is, but there is absolutely no possible way that the Giants can be competitive or win a football game if you're not using Saquon Barkley. You can't have the man have 1 yard in a half of football. That's just madness. So either this works or it's just done. Like, I'm done with it. So I'm going all in. I think they're going to have a better game plan here. It's not the world's best matchup, but I think Saquon Barkley can overcome and at least get me some one-tier fantasy points out of this position. But I do it with some trepidation. Anyway.
Yeah, here's a guy that was a top 10 pick in a lot of drafts, and then here we are talking about him like, well, maybe you can fit him into your lineup as a flex if you, you know, hold your eyes.
If he's not pissed off and can channel that into this game, like, I just don't know. Like, maybe he's just already done. Maybe the team's already done. This is a real dumpster fire of a situation, but I want it to be better. So I'm hoping it is. I can see a way that this might work, but I can also see this blowing up catastrophically in my face, which either is possible. After a long-winded top 5.
I would take Marvin Harrison Jr. with the first pick in the draft next year from the Giants, but
1,000%.
If they get one of those top 3 picks, they're almost certainly going to take a new quarterback. But I wish they would take Marvin Harrison Jr.
You can get a quarterback off free agency. You don't have to draft one. Like, yeah, there are some good ones to draft, but, like, there's one Marvin Harrison Jr. There's one of them out there, and he is very good. But I digress.
I digress. I interrupted your top 10.
We all digress. I watch a lot of Big Ten football, so I could go on about this all day long. if you're interested in a soliloquy about why Marvin Harrison Jr. is the right fit for your team, reach out to the Fourth and Ninja Show. We've got you covered.
In the meantime,
maybe think about starting Breece Hall this week. I have him at number 6 on my list. Aaron Jones checking in at 7, Tony Pollard at 8, Derrick Henry at 9, and David Montgomery / Jahmyr Gibbs at 10. So 10 plus.
Okay, you'll be happy to know that the top 3 guys on my avoid list were all in your top 10.
Perfect.
Starts
smack in the middle of my top 10.
That would be Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, and Breece Hall, Dante Foreman, Najee Harris, Chuba Hubbard, Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, Jalen Warren, and Tajay Spears, all in my top 10 running backs to avoid this week. And let's see if I have any dishonorable mention. Yes, I do. Rashad White.
But wait, there's more.
Didn't want to cheat the listeners.
We can't have that. I can tell you that I have all of the running backs in Minnesota on my avoid list. Alexander Mattison, Ty Chandler, et al., everybody who wants to suit up as a running back, I don't want to start you this week. Roshan Johnson also on my list, Miles Sanders, Jerick McKinnon, Rico Dowdle. The numbers just aren't going to be there quite the same, but, like, if you're going to take a flyer, you're going to take a flyer. I've got better flyers I'd rather take. Jaleel McLaughlin, Latavius Murray, Zach Charbonnet, Royce Freeman, Kareem Hunt. Not loving a lot. This was easier to find about 40 running backs I didn't want to start this week than 10. But there we go. Can we see a few games differently? I'm excited to see how the wide receiver rankings go.
let's see how you're losing your top 10 this week for wide receivers.
I would just like to know, I'm sure you all thought CeeDee Lamb was going to be at the top of my list. He is not. He's number 2. Tyreek Hill, number 1 on my list.
But he's number 1 in your heart.
Obviously. Goes without saying. As I look over my shoulder at a Dez Bryant football, yeah, I'm partial. But I've got A.J. Brown all the way up at 3 here. Amon-Ra St. Brown at 4. Keenan Allen at 5. Cooper Kupp checking in at 6, Ja'Marr Chase all the way down at 7, and even that, I'm a little thinking might be too high. Stephon Diggs at 8, Justin Jefferson, as long as he gets on a football field, at 9, and Garrett Wilson rounding out the top 10. So I want to see if we've got much overlap here.
The short answer to that is no. CeeDee Lamb at the top of my list, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase 4, Deebo Samuel 5, Amari Cooper 6, Jalen Waddle 7, Tank Dell 8,
Waddle.
Metcalf 9, and Christian Kirk 10. So I think other than the first 2 or 3, I don't think we have any overlap after that.
Nope. So this will be interesting.
Mentions, but I don't think there's any overlap there either. I have Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Tyler Lockett, and Noah Brown making my honorable mentions for wide receivers this week.
Okay. I've got Zay Flowers kind of in purgatory. I'm not entirely sure how I feel this game's going to how I feel the game ends. I'm just not entirely sure how we get there. So Zay Flowers, I'm on the fence about. But my list, very top of it, Christian Watson. Don't want anything to do with the guy this week. Curtis Samuel, while 90% of weeks I like a lot, I don't love this week. Still kind of coming off the toe injury. The Giants' defense is actually pretty decent, despite how it looked last week. That wasn't their fault. So I'm a little hesitant on Curtis Samuel, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. Again, I can see a way where he's getting touches because they're going to have to be throwing both sides of this game all day long, but I actually just don't think there's going to be enough to go around for him. Elijah Moore, I'm staying away from. Odell Beckham Jr., Tutu Atwell, Jaden Reed, Jalen Guyton, Darius Slayton, and Jonathan Mingo.
For me, the wide receivers to avoid this week would be Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, Garrett Wilson, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen, Terry McLaurin, Chris Godwin, and Jahan Dotson, and dishonorable mention to Traylon Burks.
Oh, dishonorable mention always just feels so much worse.
You're not quite in purgatory, but and you're not quite awful enough matchup for me to put you in my avoid list. But you're
only like bad adjacent.
Yeah, that's a good description for it. So quarterback wise, hopefully a little more overlap there. I've got Tua Tagovailoa at the top of my list, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Deshaun Watson, and Trevor Lawrence rounding out my top 10.
Okay, we have some overlap. We have some on my avoid list. I have Dak Prescott at the top of my list, which I never thought I'd say, but here we are. At number two, Lamar Jackson. Patrick Mahomes is coming in at three, and Jalen Hurts at like 3A. I think my biggest angst was which of these two I thought was going to be better than the other. And I decided Patrick Mahomes is a little bit healthier, so there we are. At five, C.J. Stroud. And six, Tua Tagovailoa. Again, I had a lot of guys that really wanted to be in the top three, and, like, there's just only three spots. Josh Allen down at seven, Justin Herbert at eight, Sam Howell at nine, and Brock Purdy running out the top 10.
I think I forgot to mention my honorable mentions. That would be Joshua Dobbs, Geno Smith, and Jordan Love. Like, the matchups all a lot this week, too. So,
okay. Yeah. We got that.
I had a lot of trouble narrowing down my list this week.
It was hard. There were a lot of quarterbacks I'm like, I could feel good about starting them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot I feel very not
feel good.
Good
about. Yeah. Quarterbacks I would not feel good about starting this week include Josh Fields if he plays, Sam Howell, Bryce Young, Aiden O'Connell, Kenny Pickett, Will Levis, Baker Mayfield, Wilson, and Russell Wilson. So basically not a good week to be a quarterback named Wilson in terms of my rankings.
Yeah, it's not great. Watson's, Wilson's, the whole game. Yeah, we don't want that either. We did seem very supportive in the movie, so who knows. But Baker Mayfield's at the top of my avoid list. Not a healthy hand to hold a football in, and, you know, you've just got the arguably a top three defense in the league on the other side of you who just got better because college roommates are playing together. I don't love that for Baker, not so much. Also not a fan of Trevor Lawrence's matchup here or how he's playing in particular. Granted, he had a tough week last week, but Tennessee can slow them down enough. Jordan Love, not in love with Jordan Love in any way, shape, or form here. Russell Wilson, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Deshaun Watson, Matt Stafford, not totally convinced the hand is healed. Also don't terribly love the matchup overall, but Will Levis, Zach Wilson, Kenny Pickett, and, you know, anyone the Giants run out there, Tommy DeVito and the boys, whoever's going to play football. It was tough. It was tough with some of these.
Tight end, who do you like this week?
Hard to not like Travis Kelce. This is a big, big game, I think, and he shows up for big games. T.J. Hockenson coming in at two for me. I like the matchup here. Mark Andrews at three, mostly because he's the threat that is going to be most covered, so he didn't make it to one at the list. Three's still pretty good. Dalton Schultz at four, Sam Laporta at five, Dalton Kincaid, everybody named Dalton, come on down, at six, Jake Ferguson at seven, Cole Kmet at eight, George Kittle at nine, and Trey McBride sneaking into the top 10.
What do you think the chances are of Jason Kelce putting a bounty on his brother for the game?
I sincerely hope he does because he's done filming his promotional stuff for the Eagles' Christmas album, so just take him out. I don't see any problem with that. Thanksgiving might be weird, but it's fine. It's fine. I mean, hopefully Taylor Swift doesn't show up because – you know, then we all have to pick the Chiefs to win because they haven't lost when she's been there. So I'm hoping she stays across the pond. Maybe we get a more interesting football game.
Okay. I do have Travis Kelce at the top of my list. Also, T.J. Hockenson, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, Jake Ferguson, who's putting together a nice season. Dalton Schultz, also after a slow start, starting to get more involved in the Houston offense. George Kittle, David Njoku, Evan Engram, Dalton Kincaid, and I'm going to go with an honorable mention for Herb Smith Jr., so I'm going to roll the dice one more time there. How about tight ends you're looking to avoid this week?
Oh, I don't want any part of Pat Freiermuth. I know he's healthy. He's coming off. I know he's sitting on IR on a couple of my teams. I don't love this matchup. I don't love anything about it. Tyler Conklin in New York, Michael Mayer, Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett, Donald Parham Jr., pretty much any West Coast tight end at this point, Hayden Hurst. And really, beyond that, I couldn't get all the way to 10. I mean, I still think Irv Smith Jr. has value. I know it's probably not great unless you're in a really deep league. And Daniel Bellinger, like you said, I think there's value in the right place for him, but he's not going to be Travis Kelce numbers. Purgatory it is.
Okay. My avoid list this week also includes Pat Freiermuth, Cole Kmet, Mike Mayer, Hayden Hurst, Logan Thomas, Chig Okonkwo, and Cade Otton. And okay, that leaves us with just defenses. I couldn't come up with 10 for either of my lists, so I left them at 8, I think, each.
Pick your own adventure.
The eight that I like the most are Detroit, Miami, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Dallas, the Giants, Cleveland, and San Francisco.
Okay, I actually want to hold 10. I actually think I got 10, maybe 9 on the avoid list, but I got an actual 10 here. I went with the Cowboys at 1, Commanders at 2, the Browns at 3, the 49ers at 4, Bills at 5, Vikings at 6, the Dolphins at 7, the Ravens at 8, the Steelers at 9, and the Jaguars at 10.
Okay, and defenses I'm looking to avoid this week,
All of the ones I like to start.
not quite, but a couple. Las Vegas, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Chicago, Baltimore, I think, was on your recommended list. Arizona, Philly, and Cincinnati are all defenses I'd be looking to avoid this week.
Well, what's the fun in that? I've got the Chiefs, the Texans, the Seahawks, the Eagles, the Rams, the Raiders, the Buccaneers, the Cardinals, the Packers. Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. A little bit of everybody.
All right. Why don't we do a two-minute drill on the game predictions? We do have an interesting Thursday night game this week for a change.
Actually, yeah, a good one.
This should
Very
be a
good
one.
Into
and,
it.
I think this will be one of the better, one of the higher scoring games of the week. But I just think Baltimore seems to be not quite in the Chargers category for self-destruction. But for whatever reason, after their nice stretch in the middle of the season there, they seem to be reverting back to the Ravens that we all know and love. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati, even though they stumbled against the Texans last week. I think maybe the Texans are a better team than at least I've been giving them credit for up to this point. So I'll go with Cincinnati by a field goal here, 30-27.
I am already going to disagree with you, so we are right where we need to be. I'm thinking Baltimore to win by a touchdown, and I feel like that might even be conservative. I think Baltimore is a superior team here. Yes, Cincinnati, whatever, got their mojo back. I'm not buying what they're selling. I'm just not. I think Joe Burrow is a little reckless with the football. The wide receiver core is not healthy, and that offensive line is still terrible. So until they show me otherwise, I still think Baltimore's a top five defense, and I think they are going to be making things very difficult for Joe Burrow. The only potential issue is if they get up by double digits into the fourth quarter, they are not going to win this game. Since 2022, they've lost 6 double-digit leads in the fourth quarter. Since 2021, they've lost 9 games with a 7 or more point lead in the fourth quarter. So they need to just score a lot of points late in the fourth quarter, not early in the game. That's where they go wrong. So my advice is bet on the under in the first half. Go heavy in the second half. So I'm taking Baltimore by touchdown. 27-20.
Okay. The first of the
so
Sunday games, thankfully not a Sunday morning game, but we've got, as you like to call them, the Motor City Dan Campbell's.
Yeah.
AKA the Lions, AKA the Thanksgiving team getting ready for home game, hosting
getting
the
excited.
Bears. And I think this will get their Thanksgiving week off to a good start. I think, you know, they're just so far much a better team here that I don't think this will be much fun to watch, but I'll go with the final score of, unless you have fantasy players on Detroit, in which case you might want to watch, but I'll go with the final score here of Detroit 33, Chicago 14 in a laugher.
Okay, so I have two different scores for this game, depending who plays quarterback for the Bears. Tyson Bagent is out there. If Tyson Bagent's out there, I think the Lions win 30-17. However, if Justin Fields is on the field, I think there's a chance Chicago steals this game and they win 28-27. So I'm picking different outcomes based on different quarterbacks.
We're never going to get through the show.
Probably not. But, you know, I don't like going against Motor City Dan Campbell, but Justin Fields is something special. Good news is I don't think they'll let him out there because they want to tank for this draft pick. So probably the Fighting Motors and Dan Campbell's win this game. But anyway.
Okay. Next we have.
Promise is the only either or score I have.
Okay. Yeah, we're not allowed to tier our scores either.
That's a new rule. You can't just implement that.
So Houston is hosting Arizona. This game could be mildly entertaining depending on how the quarterbacks play. And C.J. Stroud playing at a high level. Kyler Murray maybe not there yet, but certainly has the potential to play at a high level. So I think this game will be a mini shootout, and I'll go with the home team prevailing, Houston 30, Arizona 24, and like I said, a mini shootout here.
Agree. I've got Houston winning 28-24, so I'm right on with this mini shootout. I think we'll see, you know, if Kyler Murray can hang in a higher scoring game this week. Let's see what happens.
Okay, next game up, which I think will be higher scoring, but only for one of the two teams, Dallas, South Carolina. I think this would be Dallas's second laugher in a row, maybe a little bit more of a fight Carolina puts up than the Giants did, but I'm still going with a romp here. I'll say Dallas 37, Carolina 20.
It went 33-17. It doesn't feel like a fair fight. I mean, it'll pump some stats up, and that's good. Start all your Cowboys players this week.
Okay. Green Bay hosting the Chargers. It's too bad that Josh Lambeau isn't still with the Chargers because I loved when he would come kick
Lambeau
at Lambeau Field.
At Lambeau.
But, yes, unfortunately. We have Cameron Dicker kicking for the Chargers now, so it's not quite as, yes, he's Dicker the kicker, but he's not Lambeau at Lambeau Field, so I'm cheering those. Unfortunately, Cameron Dicker comes in a distant second, but anyway, I think this does come down to a field goal, but I think it's Green Bay that ends up winning it, and I'll go with a score here of Green Bay 27 and Los Angeles and the Chargers 24 as Anders Carlson gets his second game-winning kick of the season.
There you go. I have the Chargers winning 27, Packers 21. I don't think the Packers are really firing on all cylinders, but the Chargers seem to think it's December every week and they don't want to win football games, so this is interesting. I don't feel like this is going to be a great game to watch, but it'll be close-ish. Yeah, I'm not fired up about it.
Next up, we have Miami off of bye week hosting the Raiders, who have won two in a row under Antonio Pierce. I think the good luck comes to an end here in a big way. I think Miami is a far better team here, and especially if they get Devon Achane back, I think that'll just make things worse for the Raiders. I'm going with Miami in a romp here. I'll say Dolphins 38, Raiders 17.
Yeah, I went with 34-20. Just it felt almost too mean to predict as big of a thing. I mean, they could drop 50 points on them. It's not out of the question. This Vegas team and Aiden O'Connell, it's just rough. So at least there's a lot of other 1 o'clock games, and we don't have to watch that.
another.
I'm actually more interested in this next game.
I think of all the 1 o'clock games, the one I'd be most interested in would be the Houston-Arizona game. But my Giants are on the road against the Commanders. And as you said, things can't go much worse for the Giants than they did last week. I think they'll bounce back. I'm still not impressed by Washington. I know they're favored by a bunch, but I'm going to go with the Giants in a mini upset here. I think for 1 week they'll sort of get things straight, and I'm going with Giants 24, Commanders 21.
Yeah, I went with Washington 27 and the Giants 17. I'm very high on Sam Howell, and I really like how this offense works, but I think the Giants' defense can slow them down, and I'm interested to see if the way that the Commanders having a real defense is going to change the game plan here a little bit. Like, let's maybe have Saquon run the ball a little bit. Like, that's not a bad idea, guys. But I'm curious to see, because I just want to see what they look like coming off last week's games. But I agree with you, Arizona-Houston's the game to watch in that first.
Okay, next up we've got Cleveland hosting Pittsburgh. And this will probably be a close game just because, you know, I don't think Cleveland's offense is capable of blowing anybody out. But Deshaun Watson does seem to be playing better. You know, of course, now he's injured again. But I'll still say here that Cleveland at home manages to eke this one out. I'll go with a final score of Cleveland 27, Pittsburgh 21.
Yeah, I picked the Steelers 20-17 in a close, hard-fought game. Because why wouldn't I? yep. So I'm gonna begrudgingly root for the Steelers this week. So there you are, world.
Okay. Next up, the last of the 1 o'clock games. Another one that's not too inspiring. You know, the Lattice had a good debut, but last week was not good, I'm not too optimistic about his future. And Trevor Lawrence, on the other hand, a lot more optimistic about his. I'll go with Jacksonville here pretty easily, 28-17.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a closer game. I've got Jacksonville winning 24-21. But, yeah, I went back and forth on this one a lot.
Okay. San Francisco hosting Tampa Bay. Again, to me, this doesn't look like a fair fight, especially if Baker Mayfield ends up not being able to play or not being able to grip the football. Like San Francisco, their defense is going to dominate here. Their offense is good enough that if they get the ball on short field, they'll put up a ton of points. And I'm going to go with the final score here, 34-21, 49ers.
Okay. I went also shockingly with the 49ers, but I went 30-20. I think the Tampa Bay defense keeps them a little bit more competitive in this.
Okay. Buffalo is being the Jets, new offensive coordinator. I don't know if it's going to change that much. Jets still have a good defense and not much on offense. I just think Buffalo has the superior talent, especially with Aaron Rodgers still watching games rather than playing in them. So I'm going to go with the Josh Allen 24 and the Zach Wilson 17.
The fighting Zach Wilsons, huh? I got Buffalo 27, Jets 17. I think there's just enough turmoil that somehow the Bills will decide to rally together and win a game, but they're still a disaster. I mean, just terrible. So that's a game to avoid.
One that I'm pretty interested in watching is the Seahawks on the road against the Rams. This should be a good game, precursor to another interesting Seahawks game on Thanksgiving night. But anyway, this is what we have this week. And I don't know, the Seahawks, they don't seem like a dominant team, but you know, they do just enough to win. I mean, squeaking out a victory against the Commanders at home on a last-second field goal, not so impressive. I think the margin in the victory for them is going to be a field goal again this week, even though I think they're probably, you know, more than a field goal better team than the Rams. But I think they'll play down to the Rams level, or what I perceive to be the Rams level. But I'll go with the final score here, Seattle 27, Rams 24.
I went 27-23, so we actually were very much in agreement on this. I think Matt Stafford's not totally healthy. I think that Geno Smith's behind a terrible offensive line, but he's got a couple of good running backs and he can get rid of the ball fast, and I think that'll be enough. But it's certainly going to be a come-from-behind win, I think, late in the fourth quarter. So I'm very excited to watch this game.
Okay, Sunday night game might be interesting just because of Joshua Dobbs, see if he can keep doing what he's doing. And here's a vote in the affirmative. I'll say that the Vikings go on the road and keep things going their way. I think they improved to 7-4 with a 27-24 victory here.
There you go. I went 23-17, so I'm even a lower score. But yeah, I think Joshua Dobbs can handle this Denver team. It's in Denver. It's at night. It's yes, there's the whole environment, but like, he didn't know guys' names. I don't think he's gonna be worried about being cold. I think he's gonna be all right.
Yeah, it's funny, you go from playing half the season with Arizona in the desert to playing a Sunday night game at the Mile High. That's quite a
difference.
Extreme. So, and then wrapping out, wrapping up the week, we have two teams that played in the desert in January and played a high-scoring game here in the cold of Kansas City on Monday night. I don't think it's going to be quite as high-scoring, but still relatively high-scoring. But I think the outcome is going to be the same as it was in February. I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win a pretty close and hopefully entertaining game here. I'll say the Taylor Swift streak continues, Chiefs 30, Eagles 24.
I'm going the other way on this. I think the Eagles are going to steal one, 30-27. Again, I'm mostly concerned with what Jalen Hurts' knee situation really and truly is, because he didn't look great last week. But I think primed for this. I think they're ready for prime time. And if not, we're going to find out pretty fast. But I think the Eagles are going to steal this one. So at least we get some good games to start and end the week. So before we let you go, very, very quickly, as always, you can find us every week, Tuesday nights at our normal time from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us all over social media. We are on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, or I guess X. You can find us at JKIM16 and Fantasy_Sherpa. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. You can email us at the number 4THNInchesShow@gmail.com. Remember, we want to hear your turkeys, your treats. We're putting together our Thanksgiving episode for next week. And very, very briefly before we go, a couple of daily fantasy picks, because you know we get you covered all the way around. You know who to start. You know who you want to spend your money on. Here's a couple of guys that'll save you some money that might be worth your while. At quarterback, I think Kyler Murray is very interesting this week. Joshua Dobbs, also very interesting this week. I don't hate the idea of Kenny Pickett in the right situation, but I don't love it. But you got some options there at wide receiver. Noah Brown and Tank Dell, both good options, both price right. Christian Kirk, who's going to see a ton of looks, and Terry McLaurin, old scary Terry, Jahan Dotson, if you really need a stretch. At running back, Najee Harris, Deontay Foreman potentially, Khalil Herbert doesn't get activated. If Herbert does, I would throw him in there. Kenneth Gainwell is an interesting flyer. Rico Dowdle, I think, is also an interesting one. At tight end, Trey McBride, Cole Kmet, and maybe even really feeling crazy, Irv Smith Jr., but probably not the week for that. Defensively, the Lions and the Titans are both going to be priced right for you, so we've got you covered every which way for the week. If you have any questions, you want to talk football, you want to sass our picks, whatever, we're open for business. find us all over social media, and we will be back with you next week. Good luck to everyone, unless, of course, you're playing us.